Friends, it's time for Blind Like Me again. I'm Phil Parr, and you have a kind of an unusual show today, a little bit different, something that we look for. We have two ladies that we're going to talk with today. First, Sharon Tewksbury, is that right? Unicorns on our list from down Liberty County. Going to talk with her, and also Becky McCullough, who is another member of our list. And we'll start with Sharon. Sharon, you ready? Here we go. One, two, three. Well, hello there. It's a blind for blind like me, and it's turned out to be a rainy, nasty day. It was sun was shining this morning, but I don't know what happened. The gods have gotten mad at us or something. It's raining in East Texas, and we're talking with a lady who also lives in East Texas. I didn't know that until this morning, and I don't even know your last name. It's not Unicorn.
Tewksbury.
How much?
Tewksbury.
Tewksbury.
Right. It's an English name.
Sharon Tewksbury.
Well, I mean, his family was English. I'll put it that way.
It sounds very
English.
He became
American, you know. Yeah.
Sharon Tewksbury.
Right.
Well, that's kind of an unusual name. It's pretty, though. I like it.
Oh, thank you.
But you call yourself Unicorn on our.
That's what I call myself.
Your list that we do. Do you have a fondness for unicorns or what? What
I collect unicorns.
You do.
I love unicorns. I've always loved unicorns, and I collect them. And I've got all kinds of them, and it's just a kind of an off-the-wall hobby.
Oh, well,
you know?
Everybody's got their own peccadilloes, eccentricity.
But
you're not talking about live. You're talking about, models of unicorn.
Yes, sir.
Stuffed ones or ceramic ones or ones.
Ceramic ones, blown glass, you know, crystal, you know, just all kinds of unicorns.
Unicorns. Well, all right. So that's the nickname.
Yes, sir. I love Greek mythology, and I've always liked stuff like that and science fiction, and unicorns just happen to be my thing, you know.
So you're a sci-fi reader?
I'm a sci-fi reader, and I watch sci-fi, and I love the old Star Trek movies that were in the 60s, you know, with Mr. Spock and all these other people.
Well, you and my wife would get along just fine, because that's what she's into.
Oh yeah,
she's a sci-fi reader. I just never did like it. I read a lot, but I don't read much sci-fi. And you live in down close to the Big Thicket, just this side of Beaumont somewhere,
right?
I think you said Liberty County.
Liberty County, uh-huh.
Liberty County is just north of. In fact, it's between me and Beaumont. We go through it on the way down that way. And is this your home forever, or how did you end up in Liberty County?
I'm originally from West Texas, and I moved here in 1996. I had a lot of problems in Odessa.
Oh, you're from Odessa.
Mm-hmm. And I have two grown sons, and they had gotten into drugs and everything, and a lot of chaos. And they had dropped out of school and decided that they wanted their drugs more than they wanted me. So, and they're okay now, but I mean that was a rough time for me. And one day I just said, hey, you know, this is it. I'm out of here. And so I moved here in 96.
I've got a son that's a crackhead.
And Phil, it's
always
one of the
will
most,
be.
It's something that you never get over, because with my old, especially my youngest son is okay, but my oldest son is still trying to get off of it, and I mean, you know, and I want to tell him, look, why are you screwing up your life the way you're doing, you know, and it's a bad thing. It really, especially for the parents.
You know, George does bizarre things. I mean, things can be
mood swings, and
things can be going fine. Like we've tried several times to reconnect or establish a relationship, and things will be going just fine. We'll be working on houses, and he likes to build things. He's kind of he's kind of a handyman guy, and boy, all of a sudden he'll just go get him some crack, and you won't see him for a week. You know, and he just goes.
Well, and the violence, the rages that I mean, you know, it's just it's horrible. And well, with me, it was so subtle.
Yeah.
Because when drugs invaded my home. I mean, I had, you know, I used to drink and party and everything. I don't anymore, but yeah. I used to. And when drugs, I don't even know what the stuff looks like. Wouldn't know it if somebody handed it to me.
Yeah.
And when it invaded my home, it was very subtle. It was like an earthquake, and all of a sudden, everything just came crashing down.
Would you didn't know what was going on with your sons and
no,
until...
I had no idea. And, well, like someone knocked on the door and said, you know, they said, Sharon, we saw Stan doing a joint behind the apartment complex. And I said, oh, no. I said, no, Stan would never do that. Yeah. I was in complete denial until I saw it for myself. And it just totally just crawled out of control.
There is a whole lot of difference in marijuana and crack cocaine.
Oh, yeah. Well, marijuana, I think, is the gateway to the harder drugs. Stan has done it all. You know, ecstasy crystal and the whole bit. And it's a bad, you know, it's a bad thing. And, you know, Stanley told me one time, he said, Mom, it's just boring when I'm straight. I said, Stan, I don't want to see you in a morgue somewhere, you know, but it's just a risk that he wants to take, and you have to let them do it. There's nothing you can do about it, especially when they're adults, you know.
No, ma'am, there's nothing you can do about it. I finally have, I think, completely washed my hands of my son. I can't take the emotional ride. I'm too old. I don't, you know, I keep thinking. You just keep thinking, or I kept thinking for 50 years, 40 years, 42 now, and this has been going on since he was 16, 17.
Oh, yeah.
I thought for 30 years, you know, if I was just nice enough, if I was a good enough dad, and if I tried real hard, I could solve this problem for George. Well,
absolutely.
Bull, I can't. I can't. And I finally have come to that realization that there's nothing I can do for him. I just have to live my life. I'm 65, and I just have to do, you know, all I can do is what I can do. And this is not what we started out to talk about, but it's a subject that if it touches you, you'll certainly come out the worst for it. I don't know what we're...
Well, and you know, Phil, there's a lot of blind parents out there. I have a friend whose son is on drugs. And it seems like all the parents of the blind that I know, and I'm not saying this is the whole thing for everyone, because it may not be, but all the blind parents that I know, all their kids is on drugs.
Yeah.
And, you know, and people don't like to think about blindness as, you know, I mean, but it's our kids when they were small, you know, unless you lived in a metropolitan area, you couldn't drive them where they wanted to go.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it was not easy for them. It wasn't easy for us either. And a lot of people, you know, they don't want to admit that blindness is... Being a blind parent is hard. Well, and being a sighted parent is hard also. But, you know, you have to be more alert. And you have to really be in tune with your kids.
Yeah.
And that's what I thought I was. And I learned I wasn't.
Well, but, you know, by the same token, I think it's wrong to blame you for you to blame yourself for what happened to your children. Kids are going to be what they're going to be. And,
true. And no, I don't blame myself. I told my kids, especially my oldest son one day, I said, look, I'm going to take the blame one time.
And that's
it. After that, it's the ball's in your court. And that's what I did. It was the best thing I ever did.
Yeah, get over it. You can't. You know, I wasn't the best dad in the world. I wasn't the best dad in the world, but I wasn't the worst dad, and I provided, and my children and I had some good times. And I used to kind of think maybe if I'd done better, he would have done better, but that's not true.
Yeah. It's not true.
That's not true, and I know that.
What kind of walk of life you're from, rich, poor, or whatever, drugs has no. It is not a discriminatory thing, you know. It catches everybody.
This is not at all what we started out to talk about, but it's okay. We both had the same kind of the same experience, and maybe we did somebody some good. I don't know. We always say on the Blind Handyman, we're very close to actually dispensing some useful information.
Right.
We need to be
Absolutely.
Careful. We need to be very careful. Now you're totally blind.
Yes.
And have been all your life?
Yes, I'm ROP.
Okay.
ROP. And, in fact, I just had surgery a couple of weeks ago. They had to put a new orbital implant in the left socket.
Uh-huh.
And hopefully, I was in a lot of pain before that, and now I'm just fine. I feel wonderful.
Now, you have prosthesis. You have plastic eyes.
Right.
Yeah. And so
I got to get a new pair made. So.
And so they put a thing behind that plastic eye to hold it out.
Right.
Where
and it
looks,
also supports the orbital structures, the bones and all that stuff.
You know, I had that done in 55 and have never had 1 second's trouble.
Yeah.
I guess I'm just lucky, huh?
Very lucky.
Yeah. Where do you go to? You go to Houston to get your eyes done? There's a guy in Tyler
right.
that's real good.
I went to the Baylor Eye Institute.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and they're fabulous.
But who's going to make your prosthesis? Who's going to make
Tony DeLaza.
Tony DeLaza, I know
right,
him.
Right, I'll put a plug in for him because he's absolutely fabulous.
Well, I can't stand him, so I'll put a plug. I don't like him at all.
Really?
I did not like him at all. No, I did not. I had Terry Tronick did mine. But if you like him, that's fine. I want you to.
Okay.
Yeah. That's okay with me. We don't discriminate here.
Got it.
Anyway, you had that surgery, but then you had some hand surgery not long ago. Didn't you say that you had some arthritis in your hands or something?
No, that wasn't me.
That wasn't you. Have I got you confused with somebody? I got to do better.
So. No, that wasn't me.
There's so many people on that list that I don't know. Where were you born and raised? Where did you start life?
Okay, I started in the Odessa Midland area, and then I learned to play the piano at 10. And I won a scholarship to Hardin-Simmons University, which I didn't go.
You didn't.
Unfortunately.
You got married, I bet.
Yes.
Yes.
And the marriage didn't work out. And and then there was a couple of more marriages that didn't work out. And then, but in between those times, I went and made an album. I won in 71, I was... at the School for the Blind in Texas.
At Austin? 71,
pardon me?
At Austin?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And I won a talent show there, second place. And then I won another contest, went and made the album. And Nashville was fascinating for me. It was wonderful. I know in the studio when I came in, there was this... They just did... I only won one session, so we had to record the whole album that day. And when I went in the studio, there was a guy, Phil, he was dressed, shabby clothes, and, I mean, he looked like a bum off the street.
Willie Nelson.
Had this guitar case that was ragged, the whole bit, and the people I was with, one of them said, Sharon said, this guy, he's going to play the guitar, and they said, I bet he can't play a lick. He got this acoustic guitar out of that case. And then there was another electric guitar, and Phil, he would switch, I'm serious, he would switch in the middle from one guitar to another and never miss a lick. I mean, it was the most awesome thing that we had ever seen.
Who was this guy?
It was awesome.
Who was he? Do you remember?
No, I don't remember his name. That was 20-something years ago, so I don't remember his name, but I think his name was like Tommy something. And then we went to Printer's Alley and looked at Printer's Alley and saw they had all these bars with the country music singers' names on them, and people were standing in doorways singing, trying to get a break. It was great. I had a lot of fun.
But let's back up a little bit. Now, in you were when you were at the blind school, you won a contest.
Right.
So you've been playing piano since you were just a child.
Yes.
And I assume that you probably play country.
Yeah, I played country, and then I wrote my first. I'm also a songwriter, so I wrote my first song when I was 14.
Really?
I had no idea I could write, and I was like sitting there doing my math homework, and all of a sudden this song just popped in my head, and that was it. I've been writing ever since.
And now you were Braille. You used Braille as when you were in the blind school.
Yes.
So you're pretty proficient at Braille. You know it pretty well. You do it.
Yes.
Braille is one of your things.
Braille is one of my things. Yeah.
Well, that's good. And you played piano. Now, do you don't happen to know Don Shaw? Do you?
Yeah, I do.
You went to school with Don Shaw, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Well, he has no idea who he doesn't. He doesn't know you. I mean, he doesn't recognize you from the list. You know that he's the list that we have that you're on with us. He started that list.
Right.
You knew that, though, right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay, all right. You knew him, but he doesn't know you.
No, I don't think he knows who I am, though.
He hadn't figured out who you are yet.
No.
You're a little bit close. You don't really, you being unicorn, I didn't even know your name for a long time. But anyway, you went, how did you get to Nashville? How did that, who took you? I mean, how did that happen?
Well, I remember it was the night of the contest in Nashville. Wally Fowler, I don't know if you've ever heard of him.
I know Wally Fowler.
Okay, he's the one that produced my album. And he was having this the firemen there were having, or the policemen were having a benefit to raise money, okay? And so they had this contest. And that night it was so cold. I mean it was snowing, you know, and it hardly ever snows out in West Texas, but it was snowing. And somebody said, "Hey, Sharon," said, "we've registered you to be in the contest." I said, "Man, I'm not going to be in that contest." I said, "It's too cold, and I don't want to go." And they talked me into going, and so we went up there, and I, you know, auditioned, and they said I could be on the show, and then, I mean, I won the prize.
You won the recording contract.
Yes.
Which is what Wally was giving away.
Right.
Yeah, Wally Fowler's been in Lufkin. I don't know if he's even still alive, but long, many years ago, he came to Lufkin. Did he wanted you to do gospel music or what?
He asked me if I wanted to do country, and I said no. I decided just to do gospel music.
Yeah.
And that's how I won that contest. It was really fun, and I was pregnant with my oldest son. When we went to Nashville, and I mean, I was in the studio and he was kicking, and oh, it was wonderful. It was fun.
I bet he was.
He had a lot of rhythm, you know.
You did a whole album in one afternoon.
Right, and I had written half the album.
Did you sing on this album? played the piano and sang.
Right.
Now, did they lay the piano and sing it at the same time, or did they put the piano and then have you go sing it later?
No. Everything was done at the same time because it was just one session.
It needed to be done quick.
Right.
So they had musicians there, drums and bass and guitar.
Drums and bass and that guitar player. And
yeah.
They didn't have a steel guitar, but they had that guitar player that I was telling you about. And it was really fun. I liked it.
Do you have a copy of that album?
Yes.
Do you have it on CD?
No.
Well, I guess we need to take care of that now, don't we?
I can get you a copy if you'd like one.
If you find me a copy of that, I'll put it on CD for you.
Okay.
I'll transfer it to CD, and then you can make as many copies as you want to off the CD I make you, you know?
Oh, that would be fun.
But if you'll find me a copy of that album, I'll dub it to CD for you, and we'll have Sharon on CD. How about that?
That would be fun.
And we'll come back someday, and we'll play a few tunes on this program and talk about your music.
Okay.
We're glad to do that. We're accommodating kind of folks here. Base Texas, you know how we are. All right, so did you graduate high school at that school for the blind up there in Austin?
Yes.
You did.
And then in the 80s, I went to college, and I didn't finish my associates because, the commission had told me that I could go to work and I didn't have to finish the associate's degree, which I should have done, but I didn't. But I wanted to go in broadcasting for a while, and then mm-hmm. there was a lot of things that happened. My parents, they like died 14 months apart.
Oh,
and
yeah.
There was a lot of traumatic things that happened, and so I didn't go into broadcasting. But I did the editing, you know, the tape, you know, where you used to use the razor blades. Of course, they don't do it now. But
no, they don't. But
everything's digital now. But, you know, we did it with the razor blades. And I used to go run the station at the school when the electricity went off, you know. And it, sure, the electricity's off. You got to come run the station. And then there was like one time in a on a classical shift. I was on a shift and doing classical music. And I went to sleep during that. Shifting it, I like 5 seconds of dead air, you know, and I was pretty embarrassed about that.
Now, this was where? This was at...
this was in Odessa.
They had a little radio station there?
Yes, at the school,
at Odessa College. Mm-hmm. Okay, and so you ran the radio station. You wanted to be
right.
a broadcaster. That's what you wanted to do, right?
Right.
All right, we're about 20 minutes after. Let's just take a short break and come back. We want to talk about that. I think we all wanted to be broadcasters, didn't we?
I think so.
That's what
I think we all did.
We all wondered. Radio is the medium. All right, more Blind Like Me. We're visiting with Sharon from Liberty County. Back in just a second.
Best about the Blind Handyman List. Great place to exchange information and gather ideas on anything to do with being a handyman around the house.
I have found out how to fix my garbage disposal on the Handyman List, and it worked.
If you'd like to join the Blind Handyman List, send a blank email to blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
The thing I like about the Blind Handyman is I'm the moderator, and I can delete you if I want to. So don't get out of line. Stay on topic.
That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
A trip to Walmart.
I wonder where the pharmacy is. It's somewhere over here. Oh, God, I've got my cane caught in something.
Pardon me, sir. I don't know how to tell you this, but the end of your cane is stuck in my...
Why bother shopping the big discount stores when you can shop from the comfort of your own home at BlindMySmart.com?
Hi, this is Dale Campbell, president of Blind My Smart. If you can't find what you're looking for today, check back tomorrow. We're adding new products every day.
Blind My Smart, with thousands of products at a completely accessible website. Our address is BlindMySmart.com. Again, that's www.blindmysmart.com.
Okay. To say that.
Tewksbury.
But again.
Tewksbury. Right.
Maybe I'll remember, probably not with my aging memory. So you were one of those girls or one of those blind people that was bitten by the radio bug when you were a child.
Yes.
And
then, you know, when I did the, I mean, it was really fun. But like I said, there was a lot of things that happened. I didn't, you know, finish my associates. And I would love to go into broadcasting now. I think it'd be, or even a producer for recording and stuff, because I love stuff like that.
Well, it's not as easy to get in as it used to be, I don't think. It's all done by computers now. There are no more disc jockeys who sit there with turntables and play records.
Satellite is taken, yeah.
Like we used to do, sit and play records, and you were...
Oh, yeah.
Things have all changed. It's all computerized. Of course, there are people who do it now, I guess, as well as we did. But
You know, Phil, remember those old carts they had, you know, when you put the cart in and it would queue itself up and everything? And yeah, I mean, no, it's a lot different than what it used to be.
Sharon?
Yes, sir.
I have a 3-stack and a cart recorder and a sack full of carts sitting in the floor of my storeroom right now.
Wow.
We gave up on them. We used them. You don't really know much. You don't know much of my history. We did radio from my house from 85 to 97. We did a little show called American Classic Country on a little local station up here. We bought time and resold it ourselves and did this little program every day. And that's how I made a living for all those years doing that. I did radio off and on for about 40 years.
Wow.
And it was sometimes fun and sometimes not. So, but I got bitten by the radio bug early, about 1947. You're not that old, but anyway, so you wanted to be a radio girl, wanted to be a disc jockey. But marriage came, got in the way, didn't it?
Marriage has got in the way.
Of everything.
And then I decided that, which I've still decided, still today.
Yeah.
I love to write. And I like to sing, but writing is my passion. And my husband passed away 3 years ago from adenocarcinoma of the colon. And I'd like to go to work in hospice and do volunteer work, but I'm working on a novel that, it's a work of fiction, but it describes cancer and the family that, you know, they're going through the same experience as I did. Because, Phil, there's a lot of people. It was trial and error for me. You know, I had never
been around anything like that.
Associated myself with cancer or terminal cancer until that time.
But
writing is my passion. That's what I love to do.
So you're actually writing the novel. You're actually writing a novel.
Yes.
How far along are you?
Well, I finished it, but I'm working on loose ends of it. You know, going back and changing this or adding that. I love doing that editing. I like doing that too.
So it's all on your computer?
Oh yeah. I've got it on a disc, and I've also got it on hard drive.
Yeah, well, are you going to try to self-publish? You know, you can do that sort of thing now.
I would like to, yeah.
Well, I would love to read it. I really would. You know that occasionally we have writers on our list that send, like Victor, did you read that stuff he wrote the other day that our friend Victor wrote and sent to the list?
Do you know when he sent it?
It's been a couple weeks ago. He's writing a novel called Life Gone Dark.
Whoa.
A Life Gone Dark.
Cool.
It does sound cool. I like the title, if nothing else. I believe it's A Life Gone Dark. Anyway, he's on the list, and he's you and him probably need to exchange some emails.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would love to do that.
I would sure like to read your novel. Maybe when it comes out, we can get someone to read it on tape for us or something.
Okay.
Or put it in the computer and I can read it that way. So you how many times have you been married, really?
Let's see. Well, one doesn't count because it was so brief.
Oh.
And about four.
About four. Well,
yeah.
You got me beat. I'm on my third marriage, and it's a great marriage. I've been with Lou Ann 18 years.
Yeah, when my husband and I, my husband that passed away, I mean, he was really my soulmate.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, he was really the one person I'd been looking for. And that's not to say the other people weren't nice people or good people, but there's just times when things don't work out, you know.
Yeah, bad marriage is a bad thing. It really drives you crazy. Bad marriage, there's nothing worse than being in a marriage you want out of or being in a marriage that you know is not going to work. Believe me, I'm a pretty much expert on that subject.
Absolutely. And my the marriage to my kid's dad, he was very abusive.
Was he?
Yes. And he didn't mean to be abusive, but it was just in his, if he got upset or under stress, you know, I mean, that was just it. And he didn't, I don't think he woke up and said, I'm going to abuse my family today. It wasn't that type of thing. But, you know, there's just some people that can't take stress and they, you know what I'm saying? I mean,
well, yeah. But,
you know, under pressure and everything.
But there's no reason to take it out on that one. There's no reason to take it out on somebody else.
No, absolutely not.
Well, that's a shame. How long were you married to him?
I was married 13 years.
Really? Well, you gave it a good try, didn't you?
Oh, yes, sir, yeah. I did. Absolutely.
And he's the father of your children. You have three children?
Two.
Two. Okay.
Two grown sons, and I have eight grandchildren.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good. And you, but you never did go and finish your degree.
No.
Let's see. Did I see on the list? Did you work for the Commission for the Blind at one time?
No, I didn't. I never did that.
I've got you profoundly confused with somebody else, don't I? What?
But I did. I worked for the YMCA for a while. I was the music coordinator there for the kids, and that was fun.
Uh-huh.
And I played professional piano at churches before, and
yeah.
You know. But like I said, writing is my passion. That's what I love to do.
Writing,
editing, and all that stuff.
Writing is what you want to do, but you also are a piano player.
Right, and a singer, uh-huh.
And a singer. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing one of these days some of your music. Maybe we can take care of that, because you're not that far from me.
Right.
You're just right down Highway 69 from where I live. And
did you stay in Lufkin during the hurricane?
Or we did.
Did you evacuate?
No, ma'am. We stayed. We figured we were far enough north. We stayed, and our house is it's a frame house, but it's we've actually got two houses, and I was here when they're built, and they're pretty stout. They're fire blocked and both on slabs, and they're we got a lot of wind, but that's all we got was a good bit of wind.
Wow.
Did you stay? Where did you?
No, we left. My family and I left. And I took my little dog. I've got a fox terrier dachshund mix.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She's 3 years old, and she's a handful. But we left, and the traffic was horrendous. Like, people were getting out of their cars, Phil,
yeah.
And just walking around until they could move up, you know.
Until the traffic moved.
It was horrible.
Now, which way did you go? Did you hit 59 or 69?
To Henderson.
You came up 69 through Lufkin to Henderson.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 69 was bumper to bumper, they said, from Beaumont North.
It was horrible.
Absolutely.
I don't know. This year, if we have a hurricane, I think I'm staying here. I don't think I'm going anywhere
else. Did you have any damage?
No. I was so lucky. There was no damage. But when we got back, the power was out, and there was power lines down. And, you know, it was pretty pretty hectic.
How far are you from Jasper?
You know, I really don't. I don't know where Jasper is.
Jasper's over your way. It's not far. They got hit pretty hard, pretty wiped out the town. But we didn't. We lost some trees. We've got 7 acres, and we lost some trees. But other than that, my antennas are still up, and everything worked out all right. We just had a little.
Hey, that's great. Well, I mean, we're just lucky that we didn't have any damage here.
Well, my father-in-law, who's lived in Angelina County for 71 years, says that's the first time he's ever seen hurricane-force winds in Angelina County. So that doesn't happen too often.
Yeah.
Thank heavens. All right. Well, are you working now, or what are you doing these days? What's your life like now? Is that right?
I also have a certificate in customer service, but as small as my town is, there.
There's
not hiring down here at all.
So a certificate,
a job somewhere.
A certificate in customer service. Now, what is that? I don't know what that means.
Well, I had went to Little Rock, and I had went to Little Rock to Lions World, and
yeah.
First the commission said, we want you to go into medical transcription, and it just wasn't my thing, and I said, no, I've changed my mind. I want to go into customer service,
mm-hmm.
And. You know, they just kept on and no. And I finally, I didn't back down. I said, if sighted people in a career evaluate or if they're going to college and they can change their mind, I can change mine.
Yeah.
So they said, okay, we'll put you in customer service.
Okay.
So they did.
Now, customer service would be like
working in Walmart, where people take things back, or working in an airport.
Yeah.
At the ticket counter, or stuff like that.
Well, that would be kind of hard for a blind person to do, though, wouldn't it? Really?
Well, no, not really. They have a lot of equipment now that
that it would allow you
help
to
help us out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have you ever worked in that field?
No.
Not
I never
yet.
Have, but I'd love to.
Not yet.
Not yet, anyway.
But you plan to someday.
Someday.
Well, we'll wish you good luck, and that's about all we can do. So you're just kind of retired and staying home and reading books and writing on your novel.
That's about it.
Do you happen to know a friend of mine named Curtis McKee who lives down that way?
No, I don't.
He lives in Warren, Texas. You know where that is?
No.
Woodville, Warren, down there. That's down there, not far from you. Well, he's a computer technology guy, and he's about my age, and you'll run across him someday. We'll all meet.
Hey, that would be cool.
And you're going to get me a copy of your album.
Yes.
All right. Well, you hang on just a minute, and I want to talk to you. Let's take another little break, and Sharon, appreciate it, all right?
Thank you.
Hold.
Blind Handyman t-shirts and caps are available. Now through midnight February 11th, Blind My Smart has a special introductory offer. Get an 8-color Blind Handyman t-shirt for only $20, or a Handyman adjustable cap for only $15, or get them both for just $30. This offer positively ends midnight February 11th. Order online at blindmysmart.com or by phone at 713-876-6971. All major credit cards plus PayPal and personal checks accepted. Don't miss this special introductory offer. A full-color Blind Handyman t-shirt plus adjustable cap for only $30. Online at blindmysmart.com or by phone at 713-876-6971. You can be a blind handyman
even if you're a girl.
Oh, I like that.
Blind Sites. Here's a website our crack research team certifies screen reader friendly. Now, with this week's Blind Sight, here's Tim Cummings.
Are you one of those people that loves reading Braille? One of those people that orders a lot of books from NLS, has them coming every day in the mail, every week a new box of books? And you say to yourself, boy, you know, I'd like to find a place where I can actually purchase some Braille books for my own use. Well, you should take a look at www.braillebookstore.com. They have quite a number of different Braille books, from children's books all the way up to adult books. The other interesting thing is you can buy the books in either grade 1 or grade 2 Braille. They also sell slates and Braille labels and a whole different bunch of other products as well. The website again is www.braillebookstore.com. I would give it a screen reader friendliness rating of a 9. For Blind Sights, this is Tim Cummings saying, keep on blind sighting.
If you found a screen reader friendly website you'd like us to mention, send your email to blindlikeme, all one word, at txucom. .net. And join us again next time for Blind Sight.
Becky McCullough, how are you, babe?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you, Phil?
I couldn't be better. I used to say on my radio show, I never felt better or had less in all my life.
Uh-huh.
That's not exactly true, but anyway, it's pretty good. Now, you're in where, Virginia?
Charlottesville, Virginia, outside of Richmond, up near Stanton. The Stanton, as they pronounce it, Staunton, it's spelled.
They do pronounce it Staunton, don't they?
Yeah, it's spelled Staunton, but it's down here we say Stanton.
When I grew up, I spent a couple of years with I was raised in San Antonio. It's an army town, military town, and this lady named Ivy Hall from Portsmouth, Virginia, was a good friend of mine for 2 or 3 years. She and I ran around together. She was 18 and I was 12, and I had a hell of a crush on her. And whatever happened here. Anyway, how long have you lived in Stanton, Virginia? All your life?
In Charlottesville. I've lived in Charlottesville since 1975.
Well, where were you born? Tell us about your childhood and all the, you know how we do this.
Okay,
this thing.
I was born in New York, but
really?
I didn't live there. That was 1953. And then I don't remember what year my parents moved to Richmond, because I was a baby, and we lived in Richmond until, let me see, I attended the Virginia School for the Deaf and the Blind in Stanton, and 58 and 59, let's see, 59 and 60. And then 61 to 64, I went to Overbrook and lived in Reading, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And then, let's see, 4, 5, and 6. I went back, I went to, my parents separated, so I went to Halifax and lived with my grandmother for a while my mother was working in Norfolk. That's near where your friend is from, Portsmouth.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Okay, and then after that, from 65, let's see, 64 to 66, the fall of 67, I moved back up to, after I lived in Halifax, I moved to Norfolk. And then I moved in fall of 67, I moved up back up to Pennsylvania and lived in a town called Warrington and graduated from the Overbrook School for the Blind in 1973. I was the year behind Linda Heskell Justice.
Oh, okay.
So I knew her.
So you knew her in school?
Yeah.
What was her maiden name, you said?
Heskell.
Heskell.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, well, I knew you knew them, but I didn't know that you'd gone to school with them. So you went to Overbrook twice.
Yeah, in VSTV twice. So it sounds kind of strange, yeah.
Yeah, they moved you around a lot, didn't they, huh?
Yeah, flip-flop from north to south. And now I'm back down here again.
Back down in Virginia. Well, let's see, when you were a little kid, did they start, are you a Braille reader? Or you got some pretty good sight, don't you?
Yeah, I'm a Braille reader, too.
Yeah, but what
how I got my learned the print was my dad was teaching my brother the ABCs, and he wrote them in individual letters on big separate sheets of paper, and I sort of studied them. And then my cousin Beth wrote my name with different letters, Becky, on different sheets of paper, and I saw the television. I could read the letters when I got older, and they tried me for glasses, so I'm partial. Yeah, I do a lot of the Braille still.
But you're a pretty good parcel. I mean, you see certainly well enough to get around.
Good
enough. We've known each other for a long time, but we've never met.
No, I know.
Because you didn't come last year to our thing in Houston. You coming this year, aren't you?
I'm going to try to.
Well, start saving your money, because we're going to do it November 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th at
that
same hotel. And we want you to, you ought to come this year and meet everybody that you've talked to on the list all this time. Becky's on our blind like me list, which is kind of a silly list. We talk about all kinds of things. No holds barred. Just talk about whatever you want to. Anyway, you're a Braille reader. You started learning Braille when you were a kid. And did they have big print books then in high school when you got to high school?
No. I always used Braille in high school.
Is that right?
Uh-huh.
Have you ever read a novel in Braille, a book in Braille?
Oh, yeah. I've read plenty, yeah.
Really?
I'm a little bit of a slow reader now that I've cut down, but I still know the... I have some material over here from the Rehab Center for the Blind in Richmond to teach people. It's got the raised letter in print and the letter in Braille.
Yeah, that'd be good, because teach sighted people how to read Braille.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you in high school, what did you participate in high school? Did you sing, or you play music, or what did you do any of that?
I think I was in the bell choir for a while, and I was more into the pep club, like the cheerleaders, but the pep club who cheered the wrestlers on and stuff like that. Just seeing the Girl Scouts and Girl Scouts and good grief, let's see. I think I was in the drama club for a while, but I vaguely remember.
It's been a long time ago, I guess.
Yeah.
What did you, grades, your grades pretty good or not? Are you?
I guess I was being C average. I don't think I was too bad. I never made college.
You didn't go to college?
No, until...
You got out of high school in what, 72, 70?
73,
and you decided you didn't want to go to college. What did you think you might want to do when you got out?
I didn't know, because back then I was having a lot of other health problems. Epilepsy was pretty bad, so...
Oh, really?
I worked at the Association for the Blind for a while in Newtown, Pennsylvania. And then I came down, when I moved down here, I worked at a workshop, small workshop down here. And then I went to the, it was a CETA grant over at the Monticello Area Community Action Agency, which they call MACA. And I used to answer phones, and I had my portable typewriter, and I typed messages or either brailled it with my Slate and Stylus and then typed it on my typewriter. different little sheets of paper and send it to the boss.
But your epilepsy now, they have that. They have drugs now that keep that pretty much under control, don't they?
Yeah, it's pretty. It's under control now. I haven't had a fentanyl seizure since 94 or something.
And you take medicine every day, I guess, for that.
Twice a day now. It used to be four times.
Yeah, and so you found a little secretarial job where you would type some, and you'd answer the phone, answer these folks' phone, you'd take messages for people, and you'd either type them on your electric typewriter or do them in Braille and then type them up,
I had a manual typewriter. I'd Braille them first and then type them up, came faster. I think I Brailled it first, and then I typed it when I had some... Because I usually had some spare time, so I'd read a library book over there, and I'd order my books from Richmond and read over there, you know, if there's nothing.
Oh, yeah. Sit there and read. If the phone wasn't ringing, why not, right?
Yeah, and they kept me only for a year because it was a CETA thing, and then I didn't work for a while.
I guess their grant money ran out.
Yeah.
And so they didn't have a job, and so you just didn't work for a while.
No, and I met my first husband, and he passed away.
Oh, I didn't know you'd been married.
Yeah, I've been married twice.
Oh, really? Well, I think everybody ought to get married once or twice.
The second one didn't work out so well, but the first one did.
Your first husband, was he sighted or blind or what?
He's partial, too.
Partially sighted. And what did he do? What was his...
He worked for VISTA, Volunteer and Service to America.
Uh-huh. And so you got married in, 76, 70?
78.
78.
Yeah, I was only married a year and 2 months when he passed away.
Really? No children, though?
No.
No children. But good marriage, and you had a good time with him.
Yeah.
What was his medical problem? What did he...
He had an eye disease called Marfan syndrome. It affects your eyes and your heart. I think Abraham Lincoln had that disease.
Really?
They call it Lincoln's disease, I believe, now.
And it finally killed him. Was he a good bit older than you, or is he about your...
He's about 11 years older.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't make much difference once you get out of high school, does it?
Mm-mm. My second husband was 17 years older. We were almost married 4 years. I married him 12 years later. He was a partial, but we divorced. We parted later on. We were friends after we divorced, but he was a partial, too, and he died. His diabetes got bad.
What were you doing for a living all this time? Where were you working all this time?
When I was with Joe, my first husband, I wasn't working at all, and then a year and a day after he had passed away, I went over to the industries, and I met my second husband up at the school alumni in Philadelphia.
You say the industries? What is that? A closed workshop?
For blind.
Charlottesville, and they do like a lighthouse would do. They have a little contract work or what?
Yeah, they do. They have a lot of mattresses. I used to turn the covers for them that went on these heavy beds. We used to do locals. This place used to be hopping, but now. Locals are beds for everybody, you know, but now they do them for university, jails, army bases, and navy bases, and mental hospitals, and correctional agents, correctional centers.
And they do what to mattresses?
I used to pack the things.
Pack them as in put cotton in the ticking in the mattress? Really?
Yeah, that was hard work because you had to pack both sides. You make a centerpiece with the felt. And then you add the first layer, and then you add the polyester. It was like making a bed, actually.
So you were actually making mattresses there?
Uh-huh. I did that for 9 years. And then I went down to the sewing room and did their, when they sewed the, they call them ticks, the covers, I had to turn them.
What does that mean?
They'd sew them inside out.
They turn them inside out. Why?
The machine sews them inside out. That's the way the machine sews. And
okay, because I get
the right direction.
I guess all the stitches would be on the inside that way, and you wouldn't see them.
No.
Okay, I got the point. And so you turned them inside out. I guess somebody had to do that. There wasn't a machine to do it, was there?
No.
You know, I often thought. Of course, I never have had a real job, as you well know.
I didn't know,
I often thought that I'd like to have a job that was just repetitive, that you just did something. You didn't have to think, you didn't have to do anything, just do it. But I never had a job like that. I always had jobs where I had to think.
It had to. It takes number on your feet after a while.
I imagine it would. You get tired of it.
Yeah, you get corns and calluses.
You get as tired of that as you would anything else. Even if it was just a little repetitive job. So you worked there. Worked for those people a good while, off and on, didn't you?
25 years.
25 years.
Yeah, I just left the place back the 24th. Was my last day.
That's what I was going to say. But you were still working with them, for them, up until a month or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
Up until the day before Christmas.
No, I left the industries, let's see, it was January the 24th.
Oh, January 24th.
Mm-hmm.
And why did you just decided you'd stay home, or what?
I just decided, well, some of the people weren't very, they weren't really a friendly bunch to work with anymore. They're bringing all these, ever since the 90s, it used to be a real friendly place to work.
But
I don't know what happened. They're bringing a lot of more sighted people in. And, Phil, it's really for the blind. They should have more. And now, from what I understand, it should be 75% blind and 25% sighted. But now they had it the opposite way around. What I understand now, it's 60 sighted and 40 blind.
Really?
40% blind. It should be half and half, or either 75% blind and 25% sighted.
Well, I'm sure they're non-profit, and I'm sure that if you wanted to look into that, they're probably not supposed to do that. But what could you do about it? Nothing, right?
No, I'd have to call Richmond and all that, because we're sort of affiliated with the Richmond workshop up there, except they don't do that standing. We have more jobs over here. They have the mattresses, the mops, the T-shirts, the pillow department. We used to have the brooms. They don't have them anymore.
Well, you don't want to be around where they're making brooms.
No.
It's a nasty business.
Good money for some of those guys, though.
It's a nasty business. They taught us how to make brooms at the School for the Blind in Austin, and I didn't care for it. Oh, itchy. Nasty old itchy broom corn.
That's the way that felt was, I'll tell you.
Yeah, I didn't like it, but I knew that I wasn't going to be able to do that. But I learned how to old broom winder to make a how to start and make a broom. We had a deal at the School for the Blind that when you made the broom, you'd stick the end of it in there and it would knock out the seeds all out of the broom corn.
Mm-hmm.
I stuck mine. The only broom I ever made, I stuck it too far in there and it cracked the handle.
There was one guy that went to work over there before I came over there. He's dead now. He'd go to work every day with his suit and tie on, and one day I heard he got his tie caught in a stitcher.
So he wore a suit and tie to make brooms?
Yeah. This is what I heard about, Luther. But I couldn't believe it. I thought, darn, he came to work every day with a suit and tie on.
Looks like you'd wear blue jeans and a T-shirt to work there.
Yeah, you do. You should in that kind of place, yeah.
25 years at the same place.
Uh-huh.
My heavens, Becky, people don't do that much anymore. Everybody moves around and changes jobs.
Some people over there have been over there 30 and 40-some years.
Yeah. And you and your second husband just decided you didn't want to live together. You didn't get along and you...
After a while, after 3 or 4 years or so.
But you didn't have any children by him either, right?
No.
Well, that's probably better off. So you're about 51 or 52. How old are you, 50?
I'm 52. I'll be 53 in April.
April the what?
28th.
Well, we'll have to celebrate your birthday on our little list.
Yeah, they did. They did last year, I believe. Yeah,
I'm sure they will. All right, well, and that's where you are now. You're just going to retire and read books the rest of your life, or what are you going to do? You're going to try to find another job or what?
I'll probably do something else, or either maybe some volunteer work.
Well, there's nothing wrong with volunteer work.
Yeah.
I guess you get your government, little government money that they send us.
Yeah, that's true.
So you can live on that. That'll help you some.
Yeah.
And but, yeah, you ought to find something to do. Just sitting home gets kind of old, you know?
Yeah, it does.
That's why I do Blind Like Me and the Blind Handyman, because I got to have something to do.
Well, you can do it at home. I'd like to find something, think of something to do at home. That's true.
That'd be kind of nice. You have any pets? You don't have a dog?
No, I don't.
And I guess you see too well to have a guide dog, don't you?
Yeah. I'm not much of an animal. Although animals
really?
Are nice.
Really? I don't know how what I'd do without my dogs.
Yeah, a lot of people like dogs and stuff.
I certainly do. All right, well, we're going to go, and you're going to start, let's see. This is February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October. You got 9 months to save your money. If you saved, I don't know, $30, $40, $50 a month, you'd have enough money to go.
Oh, yeah, I probably do, yeah.
You need to come and see us. We're I'm going to put out a thing this week and send it to the list on the room rates and where we're going to do the same hotel we did last year. Big nice hotel has three restaurants in it, plenty of food. And anyway, we'll look forward to it, and I'll put something on the list this weekend about it.
Okay.
All right, Becky. Thank you much, and I'll talk with you.
Okay. Thank you, Phil.
Bye bye.
Bye.
Well, a couple of list ladies, folks that are on our Blind Like Me list to contribute to that, and good to have them both. Sharon Tewksbury from down in Liberty County and Becky McCullough from Charlottesville, Virginia. Let me start reminding or start telling everybody that we are planning another one of our little, what we call a Blind Like Me, Blind Handyman gatherings this November, November 3rd, 4th, 5th, and leave on the 6th. That'll be Friday evening, arrive, and then Saturday and Sunday and Monday at the Sheridan Sheridan. Anyway, the Sheridan JFK in Houston. And we'll be giving you the phone number and telling you more about it. Rooms are $72. That's for double occupancy. In other words, that's for the room. If you're one person and you stay in the room, it will cost you $72. Or if you split it with somebody, it will be $30-something dollars. That's $72 plus tax and a $25 registration fee for our little gathering. We'd like to have everybody come. If you want information about that, you can email me at phil@philpar.net. Tomorrow I plan to put together a little presentation about it, and I'd be glad to email it to you, phil@philpar.net, if you want to know about our November gathering. And just as a kind of aside, Sharon Tewksbury, that we talked with at first, is coming up next week and record some original songs in my little recording studio. Her sister's going to bring her. They're coming up next week and do some recording. And we get that done a little later on down the road. We want to have another show with her and let her demonstrate her skills as a piano player and a singer for you. So we'll get those recorded and play them on the show and see how she does playing country music. Anyway, it's been fun. If you'd like to be a guest, email me, phil@philpar.net, or you can call 936-634-9500. And if you know anybody that would make a good guest that you'd like to see on the show, be sure and let me know. phil@philpar.net. If you want to know about the gathering we'd like to see in November, Houston, Texas. phil@philpar.net, 936-634-9500. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on another Blind Like Me. Bye-bye.